Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about IVF, infertility, the trials of trying for a baby, and a bit of pregnancy.
Ooh, it snuck in there, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
What's your name?
I'm Emma.
Well, I'm Gabby. And we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club, which will become even more important when you listen to this episode.
Yes. Hey, guys.
Hey.
So this is a bonus podcast.
This is a bonus.
Yeah. It's about pregnancy.
It is.
Which is why it's a bonus podcast.
Yes.
Because we did not want to detract from our usual infertility offerings.
Indeed.
But did think it was quite an important thing.
It is still infertility based.
It is still infertility based. So basically in this, we are talking about pregnancy after infertility.
Yes.
So we've got Kat Strawbridge, who you've heard from before on here, on all the way back on like episode...
Three or four.
And then we've got Roma Agarwal, who is, we've kind of known for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's a really cool engineer.
Yeah.
She's got an MBA, I think.
Yep. She's a superstar engineer.
Yeah.
And she was on the Management Today magazine's 35 Under 35 Most Inspiring Women.
Yeah, when we worked there.
When we worked there.
Hence,
we were inspired.
We were inspired. She also came out very publicly as having gone through IVF at a conference fairly recently, an engineering conference, yeah. Which is
it's incredible. It's incredible.
Can you imagine just being surrounded by men?
No.
I just, yeah.
Yeah, she's an amazing lady.
She is. So it's literally just us talking about, well, Gabby is officiating.
Yeah, since I don't have any skin in the game, I decided to moderate the conversation somewhat.
Yeah.
And be the voice of the still not pregnant person in the room.
Absolutely.
Which is important.
Make sure I didn't get too moany.
Yeah, exactly. I was there to shoot dirty looks if anyone was moaning too much.
Shut the fuck up, you bastards.
Come on.
Get over it.
Wake up and smell the coffee. Decaffeinated coffee.
We thought it was an important conversation to have after everything that we've learned in the last few weeks.
Look, absolutely. As someone who is still not pregnant and going through this journey, the fact that you found it so anxious and you had so much kind of trouble up and down, you know, it was something that neither of us expected.
No.
So it was, you know, it became something that we needed to explore on here, basically.
I thought it was going to be a magical transformation back to my old self.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Once infertile, always infertile.
So it seems.
Halfway through, there's a bit of a world exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There is.
Kat will reveal what flavour of child she is having.
Ooh, exactly.
Yeah.
What packet of crisps she's incubating.
So listen out for that one, lads.
Yeah. Well, we should also say, if you don't want to listen to this...
Please don't.
Just don't, yeah.
Just
don't worry about it. You know, you don't have to. It is talking about pregnancy. So, if you don't feel robust enough for that today, don't listen.
Yeah, or ever.
Or ever, yeah.
It's just, yeah, it was just a little extra thing that we thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoy.
OK, Okay, guys. So this episode is focusing on pregnancy after infertility or IVF and what makes that different and the challenges associated. Because people like me who are not pregnant just think that two little lines is the end of all of the woes and that thereafter happiness lies.
Don't we all think that?
So, just to start off, I think let's kind of have a very quick recap on what everyone's story is, just so we have context for these pregnancies. Kat, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So 6 years trying to conceive, three IUIs, four fresh rounds of IVF, two frozen transfers, and unfortunately two miscarriages with previous fresh IVFs. But the fourth round, which I did in September last year, so 2018, has resulted in my current pregnancy, which hasn't come without its difficulties because it did start off as a twin pregnancy, but then I lost one at about 9-10 weeks.
Okay.
That must have been really scary for you, like sad and scary.
It was just the fact that we were expecting twins was like a massive shock because we'd only had a single embryo transfer. So that was like, whoa, get our heads around that.
Yeah.
And then just to start to feel comfortable with it all. And then we found out between 9 and 10 weeks that we had lost one, which is just, it was just a massive shock. B, you're just not prepared to deal with that. It's like something I have been through two miscarriages, but I had a kind of miscarriage inside me essentially, but I also had a baby that was alive and surviving and growing. And it's a very weird kind of juxtaposition of feelings. And yeah, it's confusing.
Okay. Roma, do you want to give us an overview?
Yeah. So I think it was about 3 years, although sometimes I lose track because all these things start to merge into one. So I had a lap and dye. So they thought I had endometriosis, went in for surgery, come back. As I'm coming out of general anesthetic, the surgeon comes and says to me, oh, you don't have endometriosis, but you're going to need IVF because your tubes are blocked. And I just completely broke down at that point. And then she disappeared and I never heard from her again. So we didn't, I still till today do not know if that was something they could have fixed surgically or what the cause of it, nothing. Mm. Anyway, so got referred to IVF and then I had a fresh cycle, which resulted in ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. So they couldn't do the transfer, but I only found that out on the day I literally went in for the transfer. So that was quite a shock. And then I had a frozen cycle, which failed, and then my second frozen cycle, which I did also in about September, October last year, has resulted in my current pregnancy.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
How
much.
How far along are you?
So I'm 18 weeks now.
Brilliant. Amazing. And Emma, do you want to just give us a
I feel like everybody
line?
Kind of knows this story. So I've been trying for 3.5 years. I had done three rounds of Clomid, which I always forget that I did, but I did do those. Mm. I did one egg collection, one embryo transfer, then I waited a year for the second embryo transfer because of all this fuckery. Mm. And then I did my second embryo transfer almost a year to the day after my first one. Got a positive test. Thought that was the end of all my woes. 3 days later, had a bleed, went to hospital, was told firstly that it was ectopic, then it was told that it was a failing pregnancy. Then I was told it wasn't a failing pregnancy. Then I was told it was a failing pregnancy. All of this happened within 1 week. And then, just series of increasingly ludicrous freakouts ensued.
Yeah, so getting the positive test, how long did the kind of happy... And this is a question to everyone. How long after you get the absolute pure joy of seeing two lines, how long after that did the kind of anxiety come in?
I mean, for me, it was 3 glorious days.
3 days.
And I remember saying to
Beautiful
John...
Beautiful days.
Yeah, I said to John, I'm just going to be a really chilled out pregnant lady. Like, I'm not going to be anxious. I've done all my anxiety. I'm just going to be so chilled. And he kept being like, oh my God, I've got my wife back. Sorry, mate.
Didn't last too long.
No.
How about you, Roma?
So I think I had 2 days where I was like, walking on air. I just thought, yes, I'm never going to have to do IVF again. That was, I would become so fed up of all the hormones and the injections and everything. And then about three days later, I started then thinking just obsessively about miscarriage. Mm. So I bled twice. One was when about a week after the positive pregnancy test. And I remember completely losing my shit that day. Yeah. And calling up the hospital and the GP and my sister and my friends, and it was just everywhere. And then I had another bleed about 2 weeks after that. I can definitely empathise with this, you know, the anxiety kind of carrying on from there.
Yeah. And Kat, I guess your situation is slightly different, that you sadly already experienced miscarriage. So was there a moment where you were just, it was pure joy, no anxiety, or was it kind of...
It might have just been a moment, if I'm honest. Excuse me. We had done a test at about 3 a.m. in the morning, and
no one can wait, can they?
Well, once you're awake, you can't go back to sleep then, can you?
That's so true.
It's first morning urine.
But we only had one test in the house, and the line was really, really faint. And I wasn't going to get up and go to Tesco's to buy some more, you know. Other supermarkets are available.
That's good control.
And so we called the clinic, who told us when they opened, told us to come in for a blood test. And then we had the day waiting. We watched all of the Sex and the City movies.
Nice,
obviously, but it was my request rather than Bob's. When they called, like that moment when they said it was definitely a yes, like that is something, like we just were both a wreck, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And so that's the moment of like pure joy. Like you say, and I am an optimist generally, so I don't want to sound really down about it, but... Yeah, I was really happy, but I was very conscious about what had gone before.
So that's really interesting to me, because I wasn't given a blood test. I wasn't offered one. And so I just had these pregnancy tests that I was weighing on, and you don't really believe them, I think, at some point. You just think, oh, there must be something wrong with them. And then I had an appointment, which was about 3 weeks later. And so you then have that 3 week period where you're like, is this actually real? Am I actually pregnant? Because you don't really have many symptoms. You can't really tell if it's the drugs again, because it just feels like an extended 2 week wait turns into a 3 week wait until you have the scan.
Yeah.
And then you have the scan, and then you've got another 7 week wait till you have your, I don't know, it just kind of, it seems like I had lots of back to back waits over periods of weeks.
Mm. One thing that's really helped me is going for a lot of extra scans. So I'm 13 weeks yesterday, but technically, obviously, of those 13 weeks, I've only been pregnant for 11 weeks, because you just get two random ones added on the end. In those 11 weeks, I've had 8 scans.
Wow.
Which is a lot. But every time I've gone, I've come out being like...
And are they all... Pardon me, transvaginal? Or have you got the outside-y ultrasounds yet? I'm so excited about those.
I'm on outside-y.
You're on outsides.
I don't have
to shave. You've graduated.
I went in for one at 9.5 weeks, and I was wearing a skirt, obviously, and I shaved my legs.
Yeah,
and
ready
just
to rip
make
the
sure
pants
everything
off.
Was nice and tidy down there. Don't do it for my husband. Do it for the ultrasound lady. And I was like, so I basically got on the bed and started pulling my tights down. She's like, no, don't worry about it. And I was like, what? She was like, no, we're going to do one on top. I was like, I'm only 9.5 weeks. And she was like, that's fine. We'll try. And if it doesn't work, we'll go up inside.
Up the hoo-ha.
And we saw an actual baby, and it was moving, and there was a heartbeat. And it's weird because neither of us have had like emotional crying moments at our scans at all. We've both just had like this insane feeling of relief, followed by a weird feeling of detachment, because like I don't think either of us quite believe that it's in there.
Right.
And I think that's, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's seems to be quite a common experience, is that people don't really, like, they think they're in kind of the Truman Show and that they're being tricked, being like shown a baby on a screen.
Yeah, so I think, so I had, around 10 weeks, I got one on the belly rather than inside, which was interesting. And then when I went to the 12-week scan, because the baby was in the wrong position, they did have to go back inside, which was nice. I thought I was done with that. But then talking about the kind of that sense of relief, again, it probably lasted about two days.
Yeah.
And then again for the next week and a half. So I had, I think either five or six, I've actually lost count now in a similar period, because I was so anxious and because I'd had so many friends and people close to me that had miscarriages. I just said, I just need to keep seeing it to tell myself that it's still in there. Mm. But yeah, so 2 days of relief followed by, again, just however long of stress and not believing it's actually happened.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kat, you're a scan addict, aren't you?
Oh my God, I am a fully fledged member of the scan society. I had a lot of scans. I can't remember exactly what it is now. It's amazing how quickly you forget. But I had had, by the time I was, say, 15 weeks, I'd had about 10 scans. And I was averaging, I think, one a week to 10 days. There was an extra one thrown in there because we'd found out about the twin on the Thursday, and that appointment was like a complete blur.
Mm.
Booked a scan on the Sunday, just so we could see, you know, our little survivor. So that they did kind of skew the results ever so slightly, but there were a lot of scans. But I felt differently, funny enough. Although I have heard people say what you're saying, you guys, about the relief only lasting a couple of days. I found that I was cool kind of after the scans, but it was a couple of days before, the anxiety about going into them, and it got to the point where actually we stopped booking them in advance, and we'd just kind of get to a stage where we thought, right, we're ready for another scan now, and we'd kind of book it for the next day or the day after, so that it was quite imminent.
Because you got scan anxiety.
Lots of scans, exactly. And like the kind of other end of the spectrum to you, Emma, we walked into most of the scans in tears, pretty much. It was such a relief not to kind of get on the table in tears. And that definitely happened on our 12-week one. But I think after that, we kind of were all right.
Because the beginning of my pregnancy was quite traumatic. Like, so I'd had an HCG test. They told me that, well, the early pregnancy unit told me it was dangerously low. My clinic told me to shut up, it was fine. Progesterone again, dangerously low according to the early pregnancy unit, fine according to my clinic. Then the next HCG doubled, it's supposed to double every 48 hours. And then the next one didn't quite double, like it was like 95% there, but it wasn't 100% again. And again, so the early pregnancy unit were like, it's failing pregnancy. Mm. So this is about five and a half weeks by now. So when it got to my 7-week scan, my clinic kept me waiting for 45 minutes. And by the end of it, I was pacing around the room. I couldn't sit still. John kept being like, Emma, chill out. But I could not calm down. I was just pacing around. And when I still do this, every time I get on the bed and I just close my eyes until they tell me everything's okay. I just don't want to see anything. Because I feel like having had so many scans in my life, especially from IVF as well, I just can't, I can tell what's on an ultrasound straight away. It doesn't take me long. And fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, you know, yeah, it's just so.
And how, what's it like going from, or graduating, shall we say, from the clinic to a hospital? Because, I mean, do you think IVF patients should get different treatment in a hospital because of all the history, because of the anxiety levels?
The EPU didn't treat me any different to anyone else. And for me, that, you know, my clinic was like, well, they don't understand IVF pregnancies. And I still don't really understand what they meant by that. Other than the fact that they miscalculated my dates.
Well,
so it's that's a
lack of understanding, yeah, right there, isn't it?
Yeah. that's a practical lack of understanding. But I suppose it's on the emotional side as well, there needs to be some sort of understanding that...
So Kat, how did you feel going into an antenatal clinic?
Well, I have to say I've had a different experience and like a more positive one. So my first scan, in fact, was at the EPU, and that was because I couldn't wait till whether it was week 7 or week 8. I just needed to kind of see that something was going on. And they were fantastic, I have to be honest. They were really gentle with me. Like, surprise, surprise, the first thing I do is tell them it's an IVF probie.
Yeah, of course.
But they were great. Because it was twins, we were put on extra care straight away, which actually was really reassuring, even once we found, you know, once it kind of became a singleton pregnancy, everyone did sigh a little bit of relief because it's a slightly, you know, lower risk pregnancy. Yeah. I am 40 now as well, which, you know, all adds in the risk factors. But I have touch wood, other than there's one midwife who kind of, but I just feel like she's just a bit not that great anyway.
Just not a very nice
I'm honest. It's a bit like, you know, when you go to your GP, and this is no offense, but they kind of, well, what does Google say? And you're like, well, I'm asking you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the professional.
We can. At home.
Yeah. We all ask Google all the time.
Yeah. But other than that, I have to say, emotional care, everyone has been so lovely, really lovely. And on my 12-week scan, the sonographer kind of looked to see whether or not he could get me an extra scan, which I'm having at 34 weeks. I had my consultant appointment a couple of weeks ago, and they've put in a couple of extra growth scans. You know, talking about birthing options and things, you know, everyone has been amazing, actually.
Yeah, it's great. That's good to hear.
What about you?
So I'm trying to remember now. So I did actually do a 12-week scan privately because my husband was out of the country for our NHS one. And so I had to book like a separate one so that he'd be there. And they were lovely. And then my 12-week scan, which I went without him, were great. And just rewinding back, when I went in after I was bleeding to the EPU, they were also really lovely. And I got onto the table. I was like, I'm really stressed about this. She said, I can see a heartbeat. And I just flooded into tears. And she kind of tried to joke with me and say, I'm assuming that's because of relief. And I was like, oh, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but then I think since I actually had my IVF and I'm now in the antenatal clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the same hospital. And so I find it really weird that instead of kind of going down into the basement, I'm actually going up a story.
Yeah.
So I feel like, oh, I'm you know, it's like one of those weird kind of levels of video game or something. So I'm at level one.
You've leveled up.
Leveled up. And they haven't treated me at all differently with an IVF pregnancy. So I haven't been offered to see a consultant. I did very sheepishly, because I've talked to Kat a bit about this. I'm really scared about talking about birthing options. And oh no, it's too early. Don't bother talking about that now. So it feels like I'm now on the normal track, which is, it's nice in a way that they think, yep, you're a normal pregnancy. Let's just carry on. But then I don't think they fully appreciate all the anxiety that I go in with every single time.
Are you all the same in that you don't want to like buy things for the baby yet?
Oh yeah.
Is that...
Well, I was just going to say, like, I had a really weird experience at my 12-week scan, because it's supposed to be this great day, right? So you have, you know, it's finally a viable pregnancy, or your miscarriage chances have dropped to, like, 5% or something. But I went in, first of all, that morning, and I think I've spoken about this before, but that morning I found out that Deliciously Ella was due in the same month as me. She got pregnant. They did a whole announcement. They had pictures of scans. It was delightful. And something in my head just went insane. And I just got convinced that, well, if she's having a baby in August, then I can't. And John was like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, if somebody else is doing it, then I can't. And then we went into the unit at the hospital that I'm registered at, and there were all these heavily pregnant women. Mm. And I was shaking and sweating. And I was just like, I've got to get out of here. And they sent me, so first of all, my scan, there's only a couple of pregnant women there, although a few people had their kids, and I just felt surrounded. And then they sent me up into the proper clinic. And there was maybe like 30 heavily, heavily pregnant women there. And I was waiting for half an hour and there were kids running around. And I just felt like I had been ambushed and I couldn't sit still. And I was just like, I need to leave. I've got to get out. And John was like, look, you've got to have your bloods done. You can't leave. And I was like, can we do it another day? And I just had this need to leave. And I thought about it and I was like, well, I've turned in the last 3.5 years, my way of coping has been to turn pregnant women into the enemy. Like they are, you know, I've joked about like, you know, not offering women my seat on the tube once and like, you know, wanting to kind of walking down the street and seeing them and just like glaring at them. But I've turned them into the enemy. And I basically was sitting in this room surrounded by the enemy. And I was like, what is going on? John was like, what is wrong with you? He was like, you do realize you're pregnant, don't you? And I was like, I mean, on an intellectual level, I realise that, but I don't think I do on an emotional level. I don't think it's settled in. So I booked myself a counselling appointment because I was like, this is really weird. And she was like, well, don't forget that you've got another 6 months for this to settle in. She was like, it takes time.
Mm. Mm.
And I just, like that, I did not expect. It just felt weird. Yeah. I don't know if either of you have had that experience.
Well, I haven't actually been able to say I am pregnant, like those three words, until a couple of weeks ago. So even when I was, like, I actually told my boss quite early on, because I just thought if things go wrong, I was trying to cushion myself, that I was going to need a lot of time off work and I should just tell my boss the reason so that I'm not being hassled, whatever. And they were really great about it. But I never said I am pregnant. I would say things like, it looks like the IVF may have worked, like with kind of triple layers of protection against it. Or, you know, I'm due in July, or, you know, every kind of cliche that you can think of about describing a pregnancy without actually saying the words.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you get like that? Like a surreal moment?
I think I still say, and I think I might, if we were around it, I think I said it at the beginning of this, I'm currently pregnant. Almost like I haven't committed to the whole thing because I'm not yet convinced that it's gonna go full term and have a baby. So I do find myself saying I'm currently pregnant. But my kind of one of the weird things I wasn't expecting was when, as my bump was growing, and like before it grows, well, my experience is, well, once it's growing, then I feel like I'm properly pregnant. Like you mentioned earlier on, I think, Emma, you kind of like can't quite believe it, even though the scans tell you,
but
really it doesn't comprehend. But I thought once the bump's growing, like that will be really nice and reassuring. But I had this weird relationship with it. And I remember it was the 27th of December and lots of my family were up, but we had a midwife appointment. So that was 16 weeks. And I spoke to her about it. I just felt I didn't want everyone, it wasn't like looking at it. It was, I can't explain my feelings about it, but it just, I think it was self-preservation. It was, hang on a minute, please don't, because then you really will think I am. And I just don't know how long this is going to last. It wasn't that certainly wasn't a vanity thing, you know, I have my bump now, you know, just a like, wow, this is kind of really happening. And you are on such self-protection that you almost don't want to believe that, even though physically you can actually see it and everyone's getting more excited because they can see it as well. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, it does. And like to answer your question about buying stuff for the baby, forget buying stuff for the baby. I didn't buy maternity clothes for ages. And I was just like strapping myself into these jeans that clearly did not fit me. And just like, I'm really uncomfortable and sitting in the office. And I was like, I just refuse to buy anything because what's the point? And I was, it was always that mentality that, you know, what's the point? I'm going to buy these new jeans and I'll wear them a couple of times. And what's the point?
Yeah.
We're nuts, aren't we? We're all nuts. Like, that millions of women give birth all the time.
Yeah.
People, when I kind of try and explain this to people, they're just like, what?
It is hard to comprehend from, even for me, you know, from the other side. I'm like, oh, but it'll be great, you know, still I'm like.
Yeah, because you're like, you're going to have a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas I'm like, if I lost the baby now, the fetus would be really big.
It'd be way worse than anything, like, any other prospect you've ever faced. It's weird.
Yeah. And that app, I've got one of those apps and it says it's the size of a clownfish now. And I just think the size of a clownfish
they give you strange really things scary to and say horrible. That the same size of, don't
well,
they?
Well, my app has four different subsections.
Oh, God.
And they're all crap.
I just have fruit. What else do you have?
I've got fruit and vegetables, fun and games, which is like toy cars and toy soldiers, French patisserie.
Ooh.
And you totally do that one.
Animals.
Yeah, that would be my option cat.
I go through it all every week.
And so, okay, what, you know, is it possible in your perspectives to have a happy infertility / IVF pregnancy?
I don't know anyone who's done it. Do you? Do you know anyone who's just chilled through it?
Not really. And kind of going back to what you were saying a second ago, like, it's gutting that you're not, you know, like, you so want to. And I do genuinely enjoy as much of it as I can now. And like, now that I can, shall I give you an exclusive? Now that her move.
Oh my God.
that is a world exclusive.
Wow.
Yeah, that is incredible. It really, and Bob can feel her sometimes, and it does feel really weird. But now I think I'm moving into a kind of a different phase of it, where I just look down and think, oh my gosh, like, I've still got the best part of 4 months to go. How is my skin going to strain? I've started this week feeling like the top abdominal muscles. It's almost like someone's got their fingers in there and they're kind of pulling them apart. It's just, I was DMing someone who just had their baby recently, Louise, our IVF way. And I was just saying, I'm just a bit freaked out by it in the best possible way. And millions of women have gone before me and it's been fine. But you're like, wow, how is my body going to get that big? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it.
I think I've got to the stage now where I'm a bit more comfortable. So I haven't actually had any scans since my 12-week scan.
Well done.
So I've gotten a bit more comfortable. And they, you know, they say that you can just start to feel bits of flutters and you can't tell if it's gas or if it's the baby, quite frankly, because it feels about the same. All those carbs again.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are little kind of pops or little like nudges.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that kind of really amazing.
Mm.
And I'm actually sad that my husband can't experience that because it's nowhere where he can actually feel that yet. It'll probably take a few more weeks. And I'm hoping that I will continue on this trajectory of calm. But Kat, exactly like you said, I think what freaks me out about going to these scan hospital rooms and seeing these women who are so heavily pregnant is like, I just don't understand how my body's going to do that. And I also feel like, because my body hasn't felt my own for about a year and a half with all the poking and the prodding and the you know, the injections and
hormones.
The bleeds and hormones, everything, I just feel like it's just not been my own body. And I still feel that way because my boobs have changed and I've put on a heap of weight and I'm just like, I don't know how my body is going to be in the next 6 months and also how it's going to come out of me. So that's the next big stress.
But those things are like normal pregnant lady fears, right?
Yeah.
Probably. I think those are like normal, but that's cool. You guys you've got normal pregnant lady anxiety.
But I think that the idea of a vaginal birth, I don't know if that freaks me out more because I'm like, I have been poked and prodded there so much with all these ultrasound scans and things,
yeah,
that I almost just, I just want to leave the area alone. You know, if we've had enough. what can we do to avoid that? Yeah. And I think if I hadn't had IVF, that probably wouldn't have been an anxiety that I faced. So it's a bit like, do I get the C-section and kind of scar another bit of my body? Or do I just carry on with scarring the one that's already a bit scarred?
I mean, it's like a collection, isn't it, with scars? You collect them all. I've got my jab scars, I've got my surgery scars, I've got the one that started it all, the appendix scar.
Where it all began.
Why not just get another one? The only way I've got through this so far, not the only way, it hasn't been that bad, but one of the ways I've got through this so far is just to say, and Kat, you kind of helped me come up with this one, is just to say, today I'm pregnant. Like every day, I might be scared about what's happening. I've just had 7 straight days of bleeding after I came off my progesterone. Guys, when the clinics tell you nothing's going to happen, something might happen.
Right.
and every morning I woke up and I was like, well, it's not like period bleeding. So today I'm still pregnant.
Mm.
And that's the only way I've managed to kind of stay sane.
The power of the mantra.
Yeah, I'm not really a mantras person, but there you go.
I think they help, man. They help.
Yeah.
I certainly, when people kind of get their pregnancy test, and this is, I think I probably said this to you as well, Emma, it's like, you're right where you need to be to get to the next bit.
Yeah.
And so as much as it's kind of really difficult and you're scared and anxious and everything else, like when you get that double line or when you get that positive, you know, blood test, that's exactly where you need to be to get to the next day, to get to the next week, to get to the next scan. And each scan is like that. Each day is like that. And that's kind of as much as we can celebrate sometimes, but as long as we try and celebrate that, then, you know, we just try and keep a level head and enjoy as much as we can, really.
I think basically pregnancy is another part of the IVF process.
Hmm.
And you don't think that. You think pregnancy is the goal, and it is in many ways, but actually a baby is the goal.
Mm. Mm. I think that's really nice, Kat, that, you know, celebrate what you can and what you're comfortable to celebrate, and that's how you can enjoy it rather than trying to be completely chilled and earth mothery about it in the way that we all dreamed about being pregnant when we were innocent in our 20s.
Thanks for putting up with our moaning, mate.
And to everyone else out there who's in the same position as me, we'll get there, guys.
Yeah, and also, why are you listening? Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
And that concludes tonight's production.
Indeed. I do hope you enjoyed. Is it enjoyable?
I think it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
If you have any questions or comments.
Yes.
Please rate and review the podcast.
Yes.
Please follow us on Instagram.
@BigFatNegative.
Or Twitter.
@BigFatNegative.
Or Facebook.
@BigFatNegative.
Or email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear your views and whether you think we're being smug or any bitches. Well, Gabby isn't, but me.
Yeah, let us know if that was the right tone.
Yeah.
Because we're a bit sensitive about this episode.
We are a bit sensitive about this episode. Yeah. We're worried.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just thought it was a conversation worth having.
I think so.
Have a lovely day.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.